Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios begins right now. What an amazing 2 weeks it's been in these Crossbreed Holster Studios. So welcome to, I guess we can call it the 4th of July broadcast, being that this weekly edition of the Armed American Radio Network is broadcasting over what's left of the holiday weekend, right? Absolutely. So before we get started on another ginormous live national broadcast for you, and I welcome you into these studios with me, it's my honor to be speaking with you today about all things related to our right to bear arms. I had a kind of a reawakening when I was out in Arizona last week, and it is truly an honor to be speaking with you about these things today related to our right to bear arms. I guess I should say as much of it as we can cram in to this space in 3 hours anyway, right? But the guest lineup is huge today, as it always is, with AWR Hawkins coming back from a little two-week hiatus, and Alan Gottlieb, he'll be here in just a few moments. He's on the line listening as we speak now, and Rob Pincus in the third hour. So buckle up, another great broadcast lined up for you today. First, I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved last week's shows from Tombstone, Arizona. They were a blast. And to be able to spend those 3 hours with Kurt Schilling mic'd up with me was not only fun, but it was extremely important as we celebrated the Second Amendment in America's only city declared by proclamation to be a Second Amendment city, that being Tombstone, Arizona. Let me explain why this program and your voice, heard by proxy through mine on the nation's airwaves, is so absolutely critical and so important. The more I think about this and the more I watch the video, I get angrier. Angry Mark comes out of the box. I'm talking about local Tucson, KOLD News 13 in Tombstone last weekend, who was there to interview Kurt Schilling about his appearance in town when he was told by the staff on the ground. Now, they had the weather girl there, super nice. Had a camera crew there, super nice. Had one of the sports anchors there. He was wonderful. They were all great people. But he was told by the staff and was warned that for the on-camera interview that he couldn't use the phrase Second Amendment and that he wasn't allowed to wear a Trump hat, which he was wearing, and he was there to talk about the Second Amendment, celebrating Freedom Days in America's only, by proclamation, declared Second Amendment city. So how do you do that? So I mean, it is. It leaves a talk radio show host speechless when you think about what was going through the news crew's heads when they went out to Tombstone, Arizona, knowing what they were going there to interview him for. No hat, no Second Amendment, can't say that. So I asked when I found out if the interview was being taped or if it was airing live, when I found out what was going on, I gave my suggestion. I said, Kurt, why don't you just say it anyway? It's a live interview. What are they going to do? Mention the Second Amendment and put your hat on in the middle of the interview. What are they going to do? Stop the tape? Stop the live interview? Are they going to freak out? And if they do, so what? That's why you're in town. You're talking about the Bill of Rights and a sitting president. You know, I wonder what's happened to this country. So there it was, a live interview. Go ahead, man, make a statement. However, it was decided not to give the station the interview if they wouldn't allow the obscenity of discussing our Second Amendment by name in a city celebrating our apparently obscene Second Amendment. Kurt politely declined. I have no problem with that. He declined the interview when he was told by the on-scene reporters and crew that it wasn't their fault. They felt terrible. But management had made that decision. So Kurt told them while he felt bad for them traveling to Tombstone for the interview, there was no way he was going to give their management the satisfaction of capitulating to that ridiculous demand. Then they turned their attention towards me. Mr. Walters, would I do the interview, they asked me. I laughed out loud. I chuckled out loud. I said, let me get this straight. You guys, I host one of the two nations of the nation's largest pro-Second Amendment radio programs, Armed American Radio. And I can't mention the name of my show or what it is we talk about and why we're here in town politely. No, I did. I laughed out loud about it. Unfortunately, the Tombstone Lions Club felt compelled to give the interview for the good of the event and the town. And I completely understand that. A lot of money wrapped up in this. So I completely understand their decision to do so. But it was against my recommendations. The newscasters themselves could have done the TV hit themselves right from the streets of Tombstone and not involved anyone for an interview. They could have done that. I suggested that was that needed to be done. But I understood why the town needed to do that. So the crew and the reporters, though, they were really cool. They were a blast. Good folks who work for people who don't like Trump and the Second Amendment, I guess. They're out of Tucson, too, by the way. 3-1, blue to red in Tucson. Tucson's that little tiny island of blue in a big sea of red in Arizona. Maybe getting purpler, though, right? Purpler? We can say those words. We make them up as we go along. But I get this. It was a great show of faith. Kurt Schilling, as a great show of faith, Kurt Schilling bought dinner from the Crystal Palace Saloon because the crew stayed. They stayed throughout the festivities. They didn't leave. And Kurt bought them dinner. He bought everybody dinner at the Oriental Saloon from the Crystal Palace. Patrons, employees, the staff, law enforcement, and yes, even those reporters who stayed well into the evening with us for a great time. Great evening with folks who came from far and wide to attend that fantastic event. It wasn't cheap for Kurt to do that. He's a stand-up guy. And here's just a follow-up. You may remember Brandon Martin. I want to get this out before I forget it. You're going to be hearing me talk about this over the next month. Brandon Martin is running for Arizona's 2nd District for Congress, which covers all of Cochise County and a large swath of Pima County. Many of you are listening from that area right now. That includes Tucson, by the way. He's running to unseat Democrat Ann Kirkpatrick. Both Kurt and I have been asked, and both have agreed, again, to be in Cochise County for a campaign event in Tucson and the following day for a campaign event at the border ranch of John Ladd, who you've seen featured in the New York Times, the LA Times, Fox News, all over the place. His ranch, 10,000 plus acres from Naco West, bordering the Mexican. He's right smack on the border. He's having a terrible time down there. We will be on the ranch August 8th and 9th and the 10th to help unseat that Democrat that, quite frankly, has no business being in that area, sitting in Congress in that area of the country. We're going to try to make a change there with Brandon. He's a great guy. So what does all this have to do with guns? The ranch, the border, all that has everything to do with guns, because the very guns being used by those ranchers to protect their tens of thousands of acres and their families on that lawless stretch of border are the guns that the Democrat clown posse wants to outlaw. Get this. They want to outlaw those guns. Man, oh man. So when you think about that, outlawing the very firearms that those individuals are using. Yes, I'm talking about that evil AR-15. And if we go to Washington State, a Ruger 10/22, which is now an assault rifle. It's a mess. That's how all of this ties together. So I'm going to go to Alan Gottlieb right now for the remainder of this segment. I've got about a couple minutes. Let's go to Alan now so you don't get to hear me bloviate anymore. Go right to him. We're going to keep him for the hour. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. He is right here from the Crossbreed Holster Studios with us. Alan, how are you today, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be with you and be in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I love it.
I'm frustrated by what I saw in Arizona, Alan. Everything from the media, but let me stay focused on the ranch for just a second because I tied that back, and I'll ask you some more questions in the coming segments. But that rancher, John Ladd, down there is having just a very difficult time. There, he's got 10,000 acres on that border. And Swalwell and Kamala Harris, they want to take away the very guns he uses to defend himself and his family and protect that ranch and his livelihood. Come on, man. Do they not know that?
Sure they know that. They don't care about him or you or I or any of your listeners. They want to take away all of our guns, not just his. So while you personalize it to him being on the border where he's obviously under a threat 24/7, you know, it's not exactly fair for the rest of us either. And that's the problem we're dealing with these Democratic candidates running for president, is that their agenda is basically to stamp out everything we care about, everything we believe in, our own personal security.
You know, it's interesting, Alan. They say nobody needs an AR-15. Nobody needs an AR-50. Thousands upon thousands of Americans live on that lawless border and are fighting this battle and defending their own property with AR-15s slung over their back or riding on their horse. We forget that that border is you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles long in each direction, no matter where you stand on it. And these individuals are using those firearms to defend themselves and their property, correct?
Yeah, you know, I like how you – I'm glad you brought the word up. You know, needs – no one needs an AR-15. Well, it's not the Bill of Needs. It's the Bill of Rights. And there's a very big difference between needs and rights. And
absolutely,
it's something the Democrats don't understand.
We will stop right there. When we come back, I want to talk about what's actually going down on Ladd's Ranch, give you that information, give you some actual numbers so that you understand what I'm talking about. Then the questioning of Alan Gottlieb begins for the remainder of the hour. Don't go away. It's going to be a great one. I'll be right back after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Unfortunately, in today's day and age, you just can't trust the system. That's why the USCCA stands by their members and their promise of education, training, and protection. Every responsibly armed American needs to get USCCA coverage now before it's too late. Even law-abiding, responsible gun owners are at risk to lose everything in today's world. So don't think it can't happen to you. You've worked hard on what you have. Don't let a rigged system take it all away. Visit USCCA.com to learn more. That's USCCA.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
One warm summer day, Richard was grilling out with his family in the backyard of his suburban home. His brother stepped away to grab something from his car in the front yard and didn't come back. Feeling suspicious, Richard went to go check on him and was horrified by what he found. His brother was being beaten nearly to death in an attempted carjacking. Thinking quickly, Richard pulled out his gun and scared the attackers away. Then the police arrived, and Richard was arrested.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to do? Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say? If you answered anything other than yes to these questions, you need to visit BeTheirProtector.com right now. There you'll find the USCCA's free guide, 6 things that could land you behind bars or help keep you out of them. Visit BeTheirProtector.com now and get your free copy of 6 Things You Didn't Know What Happened When the Police Arrive right now. That's BeTheirProtector.com. One more time, BeTheirProtector.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio, segment two from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. The Monster Cast continues right now. Don't forget Grilling While Armed. The cookbook is out on Amazon. It's doing really well. And get this, 10% of every book sale goes to the Second Amendment Foundation. And Alan Gottlieb rejoins me for the remainder of the hour from the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan Gottlieb, always a pleasure to have you here. Great to have you back. Real quick before we get started, how was your fourth? Okay, you guys had a good time, I hope?
Well, I pretty much didn't do a whole lot. I sort of rested a lot. It's been a crazy month of June for us, and the first week of July wasn't so easy either. So I tried to take a day off, so to speak, finally.
Taking a day off is a good thing. I'll leave it at that. Let's go back to the border. This is a fairly short segment, and I've got a litany of questions for you. I don't think, Alan, you mentioned it's the Bill of Rights, it's not the Bill of Needs, and that is lost on the Democrats. I really do believe it's lost because they're in such a state of they don't care anymore that they've lost sight of what the Constitution is. You reminded me of that, and I got to thinking about that during the break. I remember seeing a comment on a tweet when somebody said something about, isn't it funny how the Republicans are always the ones pushing for states' rights when talking about gun control? That commenter forgets that it's not states' rights, it's constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights, that supersede states' abilities to infringe on our rights, be it 1 through 10. Am I right there?
Yeah, this is individual rights. I mean, the Bill of Rights was about people. It wasn't about states, most definitely. And that's why the whole argument when the anti-gunners used it for years, the right to keep arms is only for the militia, it's not for the people, it's only the National Guard. It fell on deaf ears because the Bill of Rights isn't about the National Guard or the states. It's about people, the right of the people.
Bam, that's the exclamation point on that. Let's go back to that border. When we talk about Americans using the very guns the left wants to take away from us, it's very important that I think that we give some numbers. This is John Ladd's ranch, Alan, just his ranch alone. Now, I've been there to Naco on that southern border, and I'm going to be back at his ranch. This time I'm going to his ranch. We're actually going to hold the campaign event, on the border at the ranch, literally steps away from Mexico, and I've seen that. It's a lawless area. The Border Patrol's having an outrageously difficult time there on his property. The number of migrants caught on Ladd's ranch has declined. Get this, from 300 a day in the early 2000s to 50 a week recently. Alan, before I go any farther, 50 a week on your property, I want you to imagine 50 illegal people crossing your property all day long over the course of a week. That's insane. Of course he has a right to defend himself, doesn't he?
He has a right to defend himself and his property as well, his family too. I mean, this is all absurdity. Again, the Democrats don't care about self-protection, self-defense, public safety. It's their agenda of banning guns. It's all about gun prohibition and gun confiscation.
4,915 illegal immigrants were caught last month, compared with 3,824 in February of 18. Migrant traffic has shifted this year towards southern Arizona, with large groups arriving at remote crossings to the west of him in Yuma and to the east across the New Mexico state line. Now, I won't continue to dwell on that. I just wanted you, listener, to see those numbers. And that's why we're going down there to help Brandon Martin help these ranchers get a handle on this problem. Because it's not just it's drugs flowing across the border. It is guns. It's all of this coming across the border, and no one will put a stop to it. And these individuals have a right to defend their property and use whatever tool they deem necessary to do just that. Okay. Alan, I got to go back to the Tombstone event last weekend because it was just awesome. The only thing that would have made it better would have been your presence, which would have made it, and I'm going to make up a word now, even awesomer. Okay, it would have been even awesomer had you been there. Are you surprised by the fact that you heard in my opening segment that a local Tucson television station would not allow Kurt Schilling, or me, for that matter, to wear a Trump hat or even say the words Second Amendment on their television interview from Tombstone?
Yeah, I am surprised about that. Because as biased as the media is, usually they let you do what you want to do when they're interviewing you. They may add some commentary to it. They may ask nasty questions. They may slant the story. But they usually don't censor you quite that much.
I was shocked.
Mark, things are getting worse in this country. I mean, the demonization, the polarization It's gotten to the point of total lunacy, you know, not just actually in the gun area, but in lots of areas. To the point that when I turn on my TV or listen to the news on the radio, I sometimes have a hard time recognizing what country I'm living in.
It's difficult for me to watch any of it anymore, Alan. I'm not gonna BS you in that. No, it is difficult for me to even Fox. It's very tough. I was watching a weekend. I guess it was Fox and Friends, and they were talking about the earthquake, and they were giving factual things. It was news. They were talking about the magnitude of the earthquake. Then they shifted over to their next guest, which was a former campaign staffer for Bernie Sanders, who the first words out of her mouth was, well, I think I just turned it off because I don't care what she thinks. Political commentary is not news. And that's why when I saw this in Tombstone, I really truly was blown away by the fact that they wouldn't let us talk about it, that it came from higher management. I don't care if Tucson's 3-1 blue to red or not. It doesn't make any difference. As you said, I would have expected that if they wanted to comment on anything Schilling said, they could have done it after the segment, right? And come in live behind it?
Well, they could have asked a tough question, too. I mean, you know, there's lots of ways they could have still slanted their story. But censorship like that is, you know, sometimes it really bothers me. It's not so much, you know, the fake news. It's what bothers me is the news that doesn't get reported at all. It gets spiked. And that's usually even worse.
Yeah, when you say get spiked, I call that, of course, as you know, a lie of omission. And lies of omissions are far worse than the biased news, because biased news intelligent Americans are able to sift through. I know when I'm being fed a line of crap, and so do you. We can make our own decisions. If the news media covers it, let me say the media news, the media covers it, I can make up my own mind. I'm smart enough to do that. And I think most Americans are, believe it or not, smart enough to make up their own minds. But boy, when the press leaves something out, that to me is what I call thought thievery. They've robbed the American of the, they've robbed an American citizen, or millions of Americans, depending on what program it is, of the ability to actually think for themselves and make a decision. That's a fair statement, isn't it?
It's more than fair, and we're seeing more and more of that every day on the news. Or yeah, we're not seeing it on the news because they don't report. They only report the stories they want to have reported. And a great example of that, Mark, is, you know, anytime there's a shooting, somebody misuses a gun, it's, you know, a lead story on the news. But if somebody uses a gun to defend themselves, it gets spiked. So the American public thinks, well, gee whiz, the only time we see a gun being used is right when it's being misused. They never see guns being used responsibly. And that's totally 100% intentional by the media.
A.W.R. Hawkins and I will be asking him questions. And as you know, Alan, I call those happy ending stories. We see them every day. And I believe the two of us have discussed it on these airwaves many times. But I believe that the narrative would shift if, in fact, the news media didn't, as you say, spike those stories. But actually, I mean, gosh, I'm going to ask A.W.R. this, too. I have to. But imagine if the news media let off with these incredible human interest stories. I'm going to talk with him a little bit about the story he wrote about a 10-year-old boy in Iowa who's alive today because his father had a gun. At what point did we get to in America that ABC, NBC, CBS, and the rest of them don't think that that's an incredible human interest story, that the boy's father used a gun to save his life? That should be leading every single news app, every single one of the alphabet soup news, but it won't, because if it does, it just blows their narrative right out of the water. More about that with A.W.R. Hawkins in the next hour. I want to take him in that direction. When we come back, I want to ask Alan about 1639 in Washington State. I've got a couple court cases to cover with him. Lots to go over. Don't go away. Okay, this one all ends on Friday. My friends at the USCCA are giving you two free chances to win $1,776 in their 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. That $1,776 gets you a Ruger Mini 14 Tactical Rifle, Otis Cleaning System, a 9-line American flag wooden sign, and ammo. But it all ends this Friday. So here's what I need you to do. Take out your smartphone and text GET to 87222. You can do it in seconds. The official rules are on the page, and you'll instantly get two free chances to win $1,776. That's $1,776 just for texting GET to 87222. It's free money. Don't leave it sitting on the table. It's part of a great cause, too. Defending your Second Amendment rights. That's what the USCCA does. They protect responsible gun owners like us. But this is your absolute last chance to get your free Ruger, Otis cleaning system, and 9-line wooden flag. Your two free chances to win are waiting. Don't waste them. Text GET to 87222 to get entered. Again, that's GET to 87222.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneof4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.
Hey there, Mark Walters here. If you're a gun owner like me, or honestly, if you just really like getting free stuff, and you know I do, I talk about it all the time, you should head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. Seriously, there's always something great from the USCCA just waiting for you at armedandresponsible.com. Sometimes it's a free USCCA gun giveaway. Sometimes it's free training, but it's always worth a few seconds to check it out. After all, how often can you just type a few words and get something for free? It only takes a few seconds. Plus, anytime you go to armedandresponsible.com, you're going to find something to help you along your journey as a responsibly armed American. And that's what it's all about. The USCCA is the absolute leader when it comes to providing the education, training, and financial and legal protection gun owners need. Plus, they just love giving away free stuff, and I'm a big fan. Remember, these great free bonuses disappear regularly, so you're going to want to head over right now to see what's there today. You don't want to miss it. Head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. That's armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Would you like to join a community of over 2 million like-minded people for free? Well, now is your chance. Just find the official USCCA page on Facebook and click like. You'll instantly be connected with thousands of like-minded folks looking for real talk on self-defense and freedom. Discuss hot topics, find great resources, and voice your opinion where it will matter. At the USCCA official Facebook page, you'll find everything you need for your concealed carry lifestyle. The USCCA on Facebook, community, resources, and so much more.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio from the MonsterCast. The Armed American Radio's MonsterCast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'll get that out. It's live radio. Tripping over my tongue sometimes, but that's okay. I'm talking with Alan Gottlieb. Alan, welcome back. Got to bring you right back in. So much to cover with you. So little time. Let's go now. Let me shift gears to 1639, let me not be rude. Let me ask this question. Did you want to go ahead and put a stamp, final stamp on the media before I go into another direction here that we were talking about in the last segment?
No, I think legal things are important to talk about for your listeners because there's an awful lot going on in the court.
There is. Let's start with 1639, now in effect in Washington State where you reside, as do the offices of the CCRKBA, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and the Second Amendment Foundation in beautiful Bellevue. How's that working out for you? And how much crime has been stopped since July 1st?
Well, we have no way of knowing that yet, but obviously the answer is probably zero. But we also have an awful lot of sheriffs in the state of Washington that are not enforcing the law. So it's not being enforced all over. And, of course, the Second Amendment Foundation has a legal challenge that's going on in court right now, where one of our 4 victories last month in court was on that, where the state tried to dismiss our complaint, and the judge said, no, we have absolute grounds to sue, and now we're in the discovery phase. And what we're looking for in discovery, quite honestly, is making the state plus the proponents of this initiative make them come up with documents they use to show that they needed such an extreme measure of banning, 18 to 20-year-olds from owning, semi-automatic firearms in order to solve crime problems. which of course there are no real studies that show any of that, and they had no information to show that they're using an extreme measure to try and, you know, basically take away people's rights and don't want to have to heighten scrutiny by the courts to look at it based on the fact that, you know, there's a million things they could have maybe done to solve crime problems rather than taking people's rights away. So we're in the discovery phase trying to make them look a little stupid, which shouldn't be too hard to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be hard to do, but then again, you know a whole lot more about that than I do when it comes to the discovery phase of these cases. You've given me a whole lot of room here. Let me go in a couple different directions. First of all, I believe apathy played a large role in 1639 passing, in addition to a lot of chicanery by the left that spent a lot of money deceiving the voter in Washington state. On both of those fronts, are we beginning to see now citizens of Washington waking up going, whoa, 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 hold on a second, man. That's not what I thought I voted for.
I can't say that's the case with all citizens. I think it's the case with gun owners who didn't necessarily support it to begin with. But I think people are waking up and realizing there's a lot more to this initiative than met the eye. Quite frankly, an awful lot of gun owners now who didn't get involved in getting out there and, you know, working to defeat it are now all of a sudden ponying up some money for our legal case and deciding, hey, this is really, really worse than we told it was, and we got to do something to stop it. So a lot of more gun owners are getting engaged in the battle in Washington State right now because of it.
I got to ask this question. I mean, it's almost like I told you so. Where were you last year? And I hate to ask you this, but I have to. Are we saying that to anybody? Are we saying, look what happens when you didn't support us back then? Maybe this is an opportunity for us to do that now?
Well, rather than do that, I'd like to pat a few people on the back. We've got three, you know, major gun, you know, manufacturers, distributors, dealers in Washington State that are now coming in and helping us raise the money to, quote unquote, defend the, you know, our actions in court against the state, try and knock 1639, you know, off the books. And they're going above and beyond anything we would have expected for them helping us out right now. So I'd rather pat some people on the back that are now at least coming out there and doing a whole lot to help out. And I'd rather be on the positive side rather than the negative side and reward those that are now really engaging. It's really heartfelt and it's really needed for us, and the support and the public outcry from gun owners we are now getting, it really is going to help us achieve a victory here.
Yeah, how do you feel about getting a victory across the finish line on 1639? I feel pretty good about it. I don't know why. I can't really answer that. If you ask me for specifics, I can't give them to you. I can only tell you it's a gut feeling, but I'll try to get some specifics from you. How do you feel about it?
I can't say I feel overly optimistic. We're going to fight tooth and nail, throw everything we've got into it. You know, the problem is we're in federal court in the Ninth Circuit, which isn't exactly always friendly to gun owners. We did just file a companion suit this week in California on some of the same issues for the young adults, 18 to 20 year olds, being able to buy semi-automatic firearms in the state of California. And we filed that in federal court, which is also in the Ninth Circuit. So we have two cases, you know, moving on that particular issue. Of course, 1639 goes into a whole lot more things as well than just the young adults being barred from gun ownership. It's hard to say. I like the judge's ruling in not throwing the case out and not dismissing it at the state's request. His logic and reasoning was good. That has to warm my heart a little bit, but we have an uphill battle. I think no matter what, we're doing things in federal court and Ninth Circuit, it's always an uphill battle. So I'm not overly optimistic, but we're going to fight as hard as we can, Mark.
The fight for freedom generally is always an uphill battle, as much as I hate to say that. But as listeners, you hear me say from time to time, I believe that freedom will always prevail. And sometimes that battle is uphill and it's tough, but freedom will always prevail. I'm hopeful of that. And I try to remain optimistic in the face of what Washington residents are facing. Alan, the reason I'm so concerned about 1639, the reason that you and I have talked about it for, we've been talking about, you know, you go back to 591 and or 594 and 1639. We've been going on about this for 2 years now because this is the petri dish that the left is trying to design their attacks against the rest of the country on. I think they selected Washington because they knew they could. It was a blue ballot initiative state they thought they could move on that the rest of the country really wouldn't pay that much attention to, right?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things when the national anti-gun movement picks a state to go into to do something, as you mentioned, as a petri dish, gun owners in the other 49 states have to realize that they need to stand up, even though it's not happening in their state right now. They need to join in and do something immediately, because if not, it'll be in their state tomorrow. The other side is very good about pulling resources from all over the country and targeting it into one area, even if it's a little city. Our side isn't so great about that. You know, our gun as well, it's not my backyard, so I don't have to worry about it. That attitude has to change, and change fast.
It does have to change, and I there's a little bit of psychology behind that, I think, and that is, well, I have my guns. I have a safe full of guns. I don't need any more guns. Nobody's going to really come and take my guns. There's a gun shop down the street from me. I think that that same phenomenon is why it's hard for us to get a 500,000 people in D.C. to support what we already or believe we already have, because we already have it. It's not like somebody's trying to take it away, or we're not, I mean, it is like somebody's trying to take it away, but it's hard to muster that up when people feel like they already have it. It's a weird psychological phenomenon there, and that's got to change quickly. If you live in one of the other 20 states that are ballot initiative states, this is what's coming to you. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, no, I Mark, that was a very good point you made. And, of course, the battle here in Washington State in 1639, it wasn't taking your guns away from you. If you already had a gun, you could keep it. So, hey, I have my guns. I don't really care. And that hurts us a lot. And, you know, and now, though, if you're an 18 to 20-year-old, you can't, you know, own a handgun. You can't go buy a handgun. Now you can't buy a semi-automatic rifle either, or a shotgun either. It's incremental what the other side does. That's why they've always done things like try to pass their so-called assault ban. They try to grandfather in. So we're not going to take your gun away. We're just going to make sure no one else can have one. Well, lucky if I can have mine, I'm not going to get so upset about it. But this is not what it's really all about. It's about getting your, you know, it's a piecemeal attack. It's taking peel onion skin off, you know, one peel at a time. They know they don't have the votes to take everybody's gun away in one fell swoop. So they'll do it, you know, one lever at a time. And that's the problem we face. And so we have to sort of have this NATO strategy. Any attack on any form of gun rights is an attack on all gun rights.
Yeah, great point. You know, I coined the phrase a number of years ago, incrementalization, and that's what it is. It's incrementalization. They're coming at us piece by piece by piece. Everything they do is by design, listener. None of it is by happenstance. None of it. They're going into this with great study and a tremendous amount of money behind them. Alan, as we close out this segment, I just want to make this point. I'll let you comment on it when we come back. Then I want to take you to a couple other court cases that I think people are now beginning to pay attention to. But as we go to this break, your state attorney general has a question and answer site up about 1639 and about those sheriffs, and can they enforce it while it's working their way through the courts, et cetera. I'll ask Alan in greater detail about that in the final segment coming up. Armed American Radio from the MonsterCast. Armed American Radio MonsterCast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. We'll be back with Alan Gottlieb right after this. Don't go away. Okay, this one all ends on Friday. My friends at the USCCA are giving you two free chances to win $1,776 in their 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. That $1,776 gets you a Ruger Mini 14 Tactical Rifle, Otis Cleaning System, a 9-line American flag wooden sign, and ammo. But it all ends this Friday. So here's what I need you to do. Take out your smartphone and text GET to 87222. You can do it in seconds. The official rules are on the page, and you'll instantly get two free chances to win $1,776. That's $1,776 just for texting GET to 87222. It's free money. Don't leave it sitting on the table. It's part of a great cause, too. Defending your Second Amendment rights. That's what the USCCA does. They protect responsible gun owners like us. If this is your absolute last chance to get your free Ruger, Otis cleaning system, and 9-line wooden flag, your two free chances to win are waiting. Don't waste them. Text GET to 87222 to get entered. Again, that's GET to 87222.
Tired of leather holsters not holding up to EDC? Wouldn't it be great if your holster fit multiple handguns? Let me tell you about 1791 Gun Leather. With 100% American heavy native steer hide, leather artisans handcraft distinctive 1791 Gun Leather into multi-fit IWB and OWB holsters. Order now and enjoy quality, versatility, and the pleasant leather aroma. Call 800-407-1791 or go to 1791gunleather.com for an affordable, distinctive holster that'll last a lifetime.
the Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a 2-pack of my pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by the Gun Box, Biometric, Keypad, and RFID gun safes. Quick access when you need it, safe storage when you don't. Visit thegunbox.com for more information and to select the best gun box for you. Use code AAR at checkout and get 10% off any order over $259. Welcome back.
Armed American Radio, the Monster Cast continues. As Kurt Schilling says, we're not going to slide into home anymore. No, no, no. We're going to close it. That's what we're doing. Boy, this I don't know if you felt this, listener, but I did. I mean, as I'm sitting here talking with you with Alan Gottlieb, this hour flew right by. And there's a reason for that, because the information is so powerful and it's so necessary that we get this information out to you. And I'm, of course, we're talking with Alan Gottlieb. That makes it that much more fun. Alan, welcome back inside the studios. I wanted to ask you quickly, your state attorney general, as I was closing out the last segment, has a site up and basically a question and answer. The four key components, and you correct me if I'm wrong, of 1639 before we move into other areas, are the universal background check aspect of it, the gun storage, safety storage aspect of it. Of course, everything now semi-automatic that's a long gun is now considered a semi-automatic assault rifle. And I'm missing one other one. Well, 18 to 21-year-olds. Those are the four major components. On that site, The attorney general has up there, can my sheriffs, a lot of law enforcement are saying that they won't enforce it. What's your position on that? And the state attorney general says, oh, they don't have a choice but to enforce it, whether it's working its way through the courts or not. You want to address that before we move on?
Well, he's threatened to, indict them if they don't enforce it. So he's gone even further than that, he says on the site. But I want to come back to something you talked about, the enhanced background check.
Please.
There is nothing more in this enhanced background check under 1639 than we already do anyway. The difference is their enhanced background check now is they put a 10-day waiting period on buying all handguns and any semi-automatic rifle or shotgun. So what their enhanced background check is the right delayed or right denied. has nothing to do with a background check. It's, again, you know, bait and switch.
Yeah, that's terrible. Let's move on in the essence of time. Listener, you can go to that attorney general. Just look it up. I-1639. You'll find everything you need to know. I encourage you to read it. I wish I had more time to cover it with you and with Alan, but we've got to move forward. All right, switching gears to lawsuits. And I'm sure this is something you know about. I love when I see this. But we're talking about Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms, PLCAA. PLCAA being the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. A Delaware judge, Alan, has just ruled that Cabela's is not responsible for the death of a woman killed with a firearm that the retail giant sold legally but was later traded to the woman's killer. Newcastle County Superior Court Judge Vivian L. Mendilla, or Medinilla, correct me if I'm wrong on the pronunciation, I apologize to the judge, but ruled against the Brady campaign, who brought the lawsuit for the family of the killed 19-year-old. Cabela's performed a NICS background check, received a proceed response, and otherwise complied with the relevant statutory provisions. That's what the judge wrote in her decision. Right? What's wrong with that? That's like holding Ford responsible for the drunk driving deaths. So these judges are working within the confines of the PLCAA, correct?
Oh, 99% of the time, that's correct. They are. That's exactly why the Brady Center and Bloomberg and other anti-gun groups are trying to get Congress now to change that law again. And they just put it in a bill in the House and the Senate to basically wipe it out so that, you know, if anybody misuses a gun, you can sue the person who manufactured it or sold it. So that Lawful Commerce and Firearms Protection Act is under attack right now in our Congress as well.
All right. I got to take this to Vegas. That's why I wanted to set that up. As you well know, the family of a woman who was killed in Vegas is now suing Colt and seven other gun manufacturers, along with gun shops in Nevada and Utah, which is the latest case to challenge that PLCAA Act shielding, what is the way they say it, not me, gun manufacturers from liability. It charges that gun makers, I'm quoting now, marketed the ability of an AR-15 to be easily modified to mimic machine guns and fire continuously, violating both the state and federal ban on automatic weapons, which is so far stretched. I mean, it's such a stretch to even go there. I'm pretty hopeful that this is going to go the same way as the Cabela's does, but we never know, do we?
No, we don't. I want you to stress this real quickly because I had an interview with the New York Times where they spent like a half hour with me, and part of the suit states that, you know, manufacturers designed the stocks so that it'd be easier to put a so-called bump stock on it, which surely isn't true.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's what came first, the cart or the horse. And I explained to the New York Times everything in the suit that was wrong, and of course, then the New York Times ran the story and omitted every quote that I gave them as if they never interviewed me. And again, it's what gets spiked, which we talked about in the first segment of the show, and it was the excellent case of it. So the only thing I presented in the New York Times story really was the other side.
And I don't suppose that you can write a letter to the editor or pen an op-ed, which then goes back and reiterates and reaffirms what you did say that they left out, because they're probably not going to print that, would they?
You're correct. They probably would not print that. The odds are like being struck by lightning, I guess they would print something like that.
You know, you've done a lot more of it than I have, but I've had my words removed from stories as well, too. And it is extremely frustrating because you're dealing with an entity the size of the New York Times, as you did here. I mean, it makes you want to scream. So I'm going to ask you personally, have you ever looked at something like that and actually let one rip because it frustrated you so bad?
Well, I get frustrated a lot by the media spiking stories, you know, constantly. It's you know, the other side, it'll do something stupid, and it'll be the front page of every newspaper. We'll do something really important, like win a major lawsuit, and the media just ignores it. It really does get frustrating.
Let's talk about lawsuits. You mentioned California in the first segment. This segment is waning down. We've got just about 3 minutes from right now, exactly 3 minutes from right now. I'm going to turn the mic over to you. We've got, again, dozens of lawsuits on behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation, winning back firearms freedoms, one lawsuit at a time. What's the biggest one you got cooking right now?
Well, we still have two cert petitions for the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, that you can't get much bigger than that. But what I really want to talk about is not a foundation case, but another case. We do have an amicus brief filed in it, so we are involved in it. But that's the City of New York case that the Supreme Court did accept to hear. And just this past week now, New York City finalized passing a new ordinance, taking out the ordinance that was being challenged. And it's now, we've got some inside information that they still have one more brief to get to file the Supreme Court to refute all the amicus briefs and the plaintiff's brief in the case. and they decided that they're not going to even argue the merits of the case, that they're just going to argue the case should be moot and not heard because the law is no longer on the books, and they've removed it, and so since or changed it. So since they've changed it and taken out the relief that the plaintiffs have asked for, the court should not hear the case at all. They're not going to address any of the constitutional questions or the merits of the case itself. They're going to totally 100% ignore it. And that's obviously because they know they're on the losing end of that. So they're just going to hope that the Supreme Court now, that the law is no longer on the books as written, that the court will not hear the case. And, of course, our argument to the court has been, hey, there's nothing stopping New York from the day you drop the case, say it's moot, for them to re-vote and put the old law back on the books again. And unfortunately, we have an appeals court decision that's sort of binding that says that law was constitutional. It would leave that ruling in place, even if the law is not in place, so that New York again or other play jurisdictions could put similar anti-gun laws on the books. So it's important for the Supreme Court, even though the law has been changed, to still rule on the old law. But New York is playing real cagey with this, doing everything they can to try to make sure that the real merits of the case do not get addressed.
I'll go farther than cagey. This is evil. These people are just flat out downright evil. Alan, we've talked about this case for months and months and months. The Supreme Court has already slapped them and told them they couldn't do this, and they do it anyway. These people don't care about the law. Now, I'm hopeful with the makeup of the court, and the reason that the court took this and smacked them down the other time, that the court is going to get a little bit heavy-handed here. I'm hopeful. Maybe not hopeful enough. Alan Gottlieb, thank you for bringing all of our attention to all of these cases and for everything you do. SAF.org is where you can join us. I say us because I'm a life member also. You can do the same thing for $150. Become a life member at SAF.org and help us with all these cases. Alan Gottlieb, thank you, my friend, for being here. We appreciate it very, very much. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Coming up next, A.W.R. Hawkins.
On Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.